So last week we looked at some covenants, and we talked about the new covenant, the old, a little bit of some covenants in the old covenant, and then at the end we kind of looked at our church covenant, and I said that I was going to be going through our church covenant, what we covenant together as members of this church. And so that's what we're going to be working on for the next several weeks, and we're going to be working on the first two this morning. If you want to go back and listen to the part about the sermon last week, you can go to our website, parkstonbaptist.com, and you can get both old sermons on there, as well as if you go to the About Us tab, there is our church constitution is under there, and then you can have your own copy of that and read through our church covenant. But the emphasis of the message this morning is this: we are the church, right? A lot of times we think of, and as I was getting ready for church this morning, I sat down and Melody came and ran to me to give me my morning hug, and she says, "We're going to church today." She loves to go to church. The other day I was here, we pulled in, and Melody says, "I'm home." And so she loves being in church. But a lot of times we think of the church as the building, right? This is church, right? This is where we go to church. This is our church. But the reality is, and that there is truth to that, but the reality is the church, the one described in the New Testament, is a body of believers. It's not a building, right? When we meet in the park on Father's Day, we are still the church over there, right? We didn't leave the church and go to the park. We are the church, and we went to the park, and we held church service in the park. So it's important to understand that we are the church. And I was originally going to title this, "You Are the Church," because it's you that made a commitment to be the church, right? Each one of us, as we made a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were born into this body, or baptized into this body called the church. And so you are the church. And that is very true, okay? But "you are the church" misses out on a very important truth, which is really the essence of what I want to get to today, in that it takes each one of us, right? If I showed up here, and I am the church, right? I am the church. I'm the pastor of the church. But if I was the only one who showed up today, we wouldn't really have church, right? Because the church is the assembling of the believers. It's when us get together. It's not a family reunion if only one family shows up, right? And the church is a gathering of the body of Christ. So, let's first look at our church pledge, just the heading of it. From Article 4 of our Constitution, it says, "Having been led by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We do therefore in His strength pledge," and there is a list of things that we pledge, which we're going to be going through over the next couple of weeks. But what I want us to understand from this is that this is something that we pledge as a part of a body, right? This isn't something that's forced upon us. Nobody held us at gunpoint and said, "Hey, you better say this," right? This is something that we willfully, and as our Constitution here says, joyfully entered into. And so, this is not a demand of us to you. This is a promise that you made to us. An eye made to you, right? It's something that you decided to do. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, here's the thing. We all want to be perfect, right? Is there anybody out there that says, "Man, I love making mistakes. I love being wrong." No, right? We all want to grow up into that perfect, mature person, right? We want to have the fullness of the stature of Christ. We want to have our priorities right. We want to have all of our ducks in a row. We want to be wise. We want to be smart. We want to have truth, right? Everything that we believe, we want it to be right and true. And sometimes we think, what do I need church for? I have the Bible. I have my prayer time. I have my sermons that I listen to on the radio or on the internet. What do I really need church for? Well, church is the body by which we live out our faith. We cannot have mature faith if we're not practicing it in the body of Christ. Because God gave us these gifts for the edification of the body so that we could grow. The reality is that God has given you, yes, you, each one of you, a gift to serve the body of Christ. And as you serve the church, that is part of how you grow in your faith. So we have committed to each other and to our Lord a commitment to work together, to be one body. And we belong to each other. Romans 12, 1 through 5 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Anybody ever have a day where your leg just took the day off and said, "Hey, I'm not working today"? How about your brain? I think we've all had one of those days, right? It takes the whole body to be the whole body, right? I mean, I like my arm. I really do. I like my right, I'm right-handed, okay? I really like my right arm. But if that's all I had, I wouldn't be much, right? And some of you might say, "Well, I don't really do anything. I just go there and sit in the pew." Well, then you have the wrong view of what your role in this church is. We're all part of this body. And you have something that you to offer our church. And we need that. We need the gift that God has given to you to be practiced in our church. We are members individually of one another. We belong together. We are one body in Christ. And so, therefore, we must understand that as a church, we not only do we belong together, not only do we need this body of Christ, this edification, growing in our faith, but we have also made that commitment to each other to play that part, right? When we became members of the church, we said, okay, I understand what I'm trying to accomplish here, and I'm willing to play the role that I've been given. So what are these things? The first one is general loyalty. I thought about wearing my Chiefs jersey again this morning because, you know, it's kind of getting that time of the year. Because there is a picture up until maybe last year when they shut down all the sporting events to outside people where you could see general loyalty, right? Everybody had a team and they were loyal to that team. Now some people still are, but for many people that sports has kind of fallen out of favor, but it's certainly an example. You know, NASCAR, I tell you what, there are people who are loyal to a team, right? Now, I was born in Kansas City. I've always been a Kansas City Chiefs fan, right? Always been a Royals fan. You know, for the Royals, it's been a lot of hard years, you know, with a few good years, but for the most part, not a lot of winning. But I've always enjoyed rooting for the Royals. Well, in our church here, I wouldn't say it's much the same, but the idea is the same, right? That this is our church. This is our body. When things are going well, we are happy. We are excited. We are glad that things are going well in our church. When things are going tough, we're still there. We're still rooting for our church. We're still loyal. General loyalty. That we will strive to promote the prosperity and spirituality of this church and sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine. So I kind of broke these two things up. One is a spiritual body, and I put worship and ordinances, and then I put a successful church, discipline, and doctrine. It doesn't necessarily have to be broken up that way. But the reality is we are not a sports team cheering fan base. Okay? We didn't come together Sunday mornings to cheer on the Chiefs. Right? There's a reason we're here this morning, and it's to worship Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is the common bond that we have. We are a spiritual body. We are not a physical government body, right? We don't run Parkston. We don't run South Dakota. Our job is not to create laws, right? We are a spiritual body, a spiritual gathering of people to worship and to serve our Lord Christ. And so as part of that spiritual reality, part of our job here is to worship Christ, because He is worthy of our worship. Colossians 1, 15 through 18 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things that were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Christ is worthy of our worship. And when we gather together as a body, that is our job. Our job is to worship Him. When we are apart, our job is to worship Him. Ordinances. Those are the rules that we make to help us make sure that we are doing that, worshiping Christ, honoring Him in all that we say and do. Colossians 1, 9 through 14 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Part of the role of the church is to make sure that we understand what God wants us to do in our lives and that we go out and do that which God wants us to do. And in so doing, we make rules. We make commitments and that we hold each other accountable to. Part of what makes a church successful is the thing that nobody likes to do. And I can tell you, as sitting on the elder board for 7 years, the elders do not like to do it either. And that is discipline. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." That's very blunt. Yeah? My mom didn't even let me say that word when we were growing up. That was a bad word, stupid. Evidently, God didn't know that. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. We talked about this verse on Bible study on Thursday night at our home, which I got to go to on Thursday. Wonderful. Got to start that back up. But we use the example of, you know, if I was wanting to be a sports person, right? If I wanted to play football and I had some natural ability, some natural talent, and the coach said, "Hey, you're pretty, you know, you got some skills here. You know, you could do something with this." And he said, "Let me teach you what you need to know to be a good player." And I said, "No thanks. I'm good. I'm good enough." Right? What would we call that person? Stupid, right? Because if you want to do something, if you're going to take the time to play football, you might as well do it well, right? And that takes commitment. And part of that commitment is to receive instruction. Unfortunately, we don't see that same thing in life, right? If we want to be good at living life, if we want to be good at pleasing God, we ought to receive instruction. We ought to love receiving instruction. When somebody says, "Hey, you're not doing this correctly, let me help you," we ought to say, "Awesome, thank you, please help." Right? When we know things aren't going right in our life, instead of hiding it, we ought to say, "Hey, here's an area in my life where things are not going well. Help me. I want this to go better." Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Yeah, that's true. Us elders are going to give an account for you, for what we did for you, for your life in this church. That's a huge responsibility on our part. And I can speak for the elder board in saying, we need your help. We want your help in that process, right? We want you to listen to what we have to say, both from the pulpit and the things that we decide as the elder board, but also, you know, we need to know what's going on in your life. When we say, hey, we're having an elder meeting today, if there's anything that we need to talk about, let us know. We need to know the things that we need to talk about. Right? If there's something going on between you and your husband, or you and your wife, or you and your children, and you need help, come to the elder board. We are here to help you, to serve you. Galatians 6, 1 through 10 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here's the reality. We are a family. And we need each other. We need each one of us to play our part in that process. The last thing is for our church covenant as far as general loyalty is doctrine. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One of the things that Christ gave us, commanded us to do, is to teach. And so as a responsibility, this church is to teach the commands of Christ. That's theology. That's our Bible. And so our church, that's part of the reason why we get up here, why we dedicate time to preaching, teaching. We also have Monday night ladies Bible study. We have Tuesday night men's Bible study. I invite you guys to come to Tuesday night men's Bible study. We're just starting a new Bible study. We're going through books of the Bible, and we are searching for treasure. And the treasure we are searching for is when God tells us why He's doing what He's doing, right? There's a lot in the Bible about what people did. There's a lot in the Bible about God's commands to men. And every once in a while you get this nugget of, oh, here's why I'm telling you to do that. And those are really, really, they're like little treasures. It's windows into God's thinking, into His perspective. So come out on Tuesday nights. Wednesday nights, we have truth trackers to teach the children what God wants them to know. So it's important to be a part of those extra services. Acts 2, 40 through 42 says, and many other words he testified. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost. In many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And that's what we try to do in this body. You know, the only thing that was missing that I really felt like was missing from this list. Oh, no, that's the next one. Never mind. My bad. Okay, faithful attendance. That's the next one. Number three, faithful attendance. That we will assemble ourselves together for instruction, for prayer, for evangelism, business, and worship. Go back one slide real quick. That we will assemble ourselves together for instruction, for prayer, for evangelism, for business, for worship. This is the one that you just missed one word right there. Potlucks. We should have put potlucks in there. But faithful attendance, right? It's important. And it's easy for me as the pastor to get up and say, hey, you ought to be here whenever I'm preaching, right? That seems very self-serving. But let me say it anyway, right? Whenever I'm up here preaching, you ought to be here, right? It's good for you. It's good for you to be here. If I say something wrong, you'll be here to hear it and to be able to correct me. If you aren't here and I say something wrong, then you won't be here to correct me. Faithful attendance is very important. Why? Because you are the church. And we need you here. We need you here to play your part in this body. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, 14 through 17 says, now, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's easy to fall out of a pattern of following God. It's easy. One week, I don't feel that great, I'm going to stay home. Right? You feel bad, oh, I should be in church. The next week, oh, I'm busy going out and doing this. I'd go to church, but I got to go. Then the next week, you know, there's something on TV that I was wanting to watch. Yeah, I could watch it later, but, you know, then I wouldn't have time anyway. I'd probably be doing something else. And then all of a sudden, it's been a month, and it's like, you know, okay, well, whatever. It's easy to fall out of a pattern. And it's easy to let our faith down. That's why the writer of Hebrews says it is so important to meet together, to encourage one another. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let me be clear. We as the body of Christ need you here every Sunday morning. The ladies' Bible study needs you here on Monday night. The men's Bible study needs you here on Tuesday night. And we need you here on Wednesday night for Truth Trackers. But let me be even more clear. You need to be here. You need to be here for your faith, for your growth, for your spiritual maturity, for that perfection that we all seek and desire, to practice your spiritual gifts, to grow in the body of Christ. You need to be here. And that's why it is so important to honor the covenant that we've made. faithful attendance, general loyalty. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's easy for me to get up here and say these words. But Lord, to be honest with you, sometimes even I don't always have the right attitude in coming to church. Sometimes it just seems like we're going through the motions. Lord, that's not what we committed to do. We committed to come here to be joyful, to be thankful, to be grateful for all that you've done for us. Sometimes that seems just overwhelming. Because the reality is life is not always joyful, not always gleeful. Sometimes we go through tough times. Sometimes our faith is discouraged by what we see around us. Sometimes it's easy to just say, man, it doesn't seem like it's helping. But that's when we need you the most. That's when we need the body the most. We need the encouragement. We need to see other people going through tough times and being faithful. We need to give you honor and praise. It's what we're here to do. So Lord, and as much as I've said, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would convict our hearts where conviction needs to be had. Lord, I know that for many people, general loyalty isn't a problem. We love our church. For many, faithful attendance isn't a problem. They're here every Sunday. For some, we need that reminder. And even for the ones that are here, we need that reminder of the attitude in which we are to approach this time together. It's a time to lift each other up, to encourage each other, to help each other, to bear each other's burdens. So Lord, I pray that we would even think of general loyalty and faithful attendance as not just being here with our bodies, but being here with our spirit. Being willing to share the areas of our lives that we're struggling in. Being willing to listen and to care for each other, to pray for each other, to lift each other up. Lord, help us to be that church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.